Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let me remind you again now to get the notes that the professor put together here about the Shemitah year, about the Jubilee year, and so forth. Get these so that you can study these. I strongly suggest, if you haven't already, DVR these broadcasts so you can go back, particularly with something like this that's possibly never heard of before, and go back and read this, go to the Scripture, and then meditate on it and study on it. And what happens when you meditate the Word? Meditation in the Word doesn't usually bring faith. It, and neither do testimonies, but it expands your capacity for faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word, and hearing by the Word of God in the 10th chapter of Romans. That's a covenant promise. But study this.
Yes.
And as you study it, meditate on it. So what does it mean, Greg, to meditate on the Scripture? It's really simple. God told Joshua, you meditate on my word day and night and don't let it get away from your mouth. He was about to go into combat, and the last time he was there, there were giants in that land.
Right.
So meditate on it. Think about it. Yes. Think about it.
And say it. Say what he says. Yes. Before we get going, I got to do something. If you would allow me, sir.
Yes.
Happy anniversary.
Oh,
today is your 60th anniversary with Glory Copeland.
Glory to God.
I want to celebrate that. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Jesus.
What a blessing you guys are.
Oh,
so many people around the world.
Yeah, I'm just, you flashed across my mind. About 8 o'clock in the evening in Joe Stewart's house. And, of course, Joe and his wife were there, Claudette. And Mary, Gloria's mother, and Wallace, everybody called him Babe Knees. and Missy was there, but that's because Mary was pregnant. So we always know how old Missy is. She's the same age as our marriage. And, it was just marvelous. And my boss, Claude Holbert, owned Central Flying Service at that time in Little Rock. And so we left that night. We left Little Rock, and I borrowed $100 from my boss. And we... this is before I knew about it.
No, I understand, yeah.
And we drove to Hot Springs.
Praise God.
And had all weekend. Had to be back to work Monday morning. And it worked.
It stuck. What did you think the first time you saw her in that wedding ceremony, when you saw her?
I cried, man.
Yeah, I know.
When I saw her in that dress, and Mary made her dress, it was beautiful. And she had on a little white hat with a little white veil. And when I saw her, I just lost it. She still does me that way.
Praise God.
Well, thank God.
We celebrate you.
This ministry is all about covenant. And I'll give you a little bit of the testimony of this because of the way it turned out. I was still, a student at Oral Roberts University. And we drove from Tulsa to my mother's house. I was preaching at Grace Temple Church that weekend. And I asked my mother if she had any tapes to listen to, and she said yes. And it was a 7-inch reel, message on each side. One side, Kenneth E. Hagin. I knew who he was. I had seen him at a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting, but I never heard him preach. On one side, You can write your own ticket with God. Yeah. And on the other side, Paul's revelation.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, in both sides, he went to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. And in Hebrews chapter 1, are they not all ministering spirits, talking about the angels, which we mentioned yesterday. Well, and I got my New Testament out, and I'm looking at all these scriptures. He made this statement. You can depend on the written Word of God as you can depend on a highly trusted friend, a lawyer, or a doctor, because it is the Word of the living God. And I took it out and I looked at that and I just hugged that New Testament up to me. Well, later, I thought, I am going to look that word testament up because I think I know what it means. And it meant covenant.
Yes, sir.
I thought, praise God. Now, to me, the first thing that ran across my mind is a blood covenant.
That's right. This covenant is not the blood of bulls and goats.
Yes.
It's the most precious blood.
Well, that came into my mind because of my grandfather being full-blood Cherokee Indian.
Right.
And of course, one thing led to another. And someone gave me the little red book on E.W. Kenyon, The Blood Covenant.
Yes, sir.
And that changed my entire life and ministry perspective. And so since then, and then the Lord began to deal with me and hold me responsible for the body of Christ, realizing this is not a testament, but it's called a New Testament, Old Testament. But now turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. Now here we're talking about this being a Shemitah year, and we're talking about, now that is a covenant thing.
Yes, sir.
Because of the covenant God had with Abraham, and then going all down, he had to do this in order to protect people.
That's right.
Protect his covenant people. Then you find the word covenant being used all over both Testaments.
Yes, sir.
So now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, remember now, and I want to say this to the radio and also the television audience, the radio and television audience. As we said in the beginning, it'd be easy to say 95% of the Christian people, maybe not that much, have never heard of a Shemitah year.
Right.
And, but you read it over here and not on, but you don't know that's what you're reading. Because we don't know anything.
We drifted away
from
our roots so far.
But now, let's go over here to the book of Ephesians,
yes,
chapter 2. Verse 11, wherein remember that you being in times past Gentiles, that just simply means somebody without God, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. In other words, you're, let's put it like this. Well, you know who you are. I mean, you're not a Jew.
Right.
So, that being said, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of the covenant.
That's right.
So now, Shemitah is big for us. We, according, you know, the Gospel of Romans, that tickled me when you said that because I've called it that. That is the gospel.
Yeah.
You can get the whole thing in the book of Romans. But if you read after the Apostle Paul, we have been grafted in. As far as God's concerned, we have firstborn status.
That's right.
We are grafted in Jews. Amen.
The testimony, now there's it's a Latin word. A eunuch could not testify in court because they couldn't swear. So, not to be too crude, there's a covenant. It's pretty rare. It's in the Bible. You'll see it with Abraham and his servant, and it's called the thigh covenant. And he puts his hand under his thigh. Well, and he swears on that. Actually, not to be crude, he's putting his hand by his man parts. Testify, testicles. And I mean, and I don't want to be too crude here, but he's swearing by his seed.
Yes.
Big covenant. He'll do that, go to find a bride for Isaac. That covenant will be there. But that's where we get part of that word testament. This is a covenant sworn by the seed, by the blood. I mean, it's...
Praise God. Now that's one I didn't know.
It's powerful. One of these days we'll take it apart and show you where Eleazar will do that.
Oh, yeah.
With Abraham. Yeah. He puts his hand under his thigh. That's the weirdest thing.
So, it's a thigh covenant. Yeah. But that made him the voice of Abraham.
That's right. He's going to get the promised seed will come from Isaac. He's going to get a bride for him. He makes that swear, that covenant promise from there. And so it has to do with the seed. All right. You ready to break this down? I'll try to get through this today, if not into tomorrow. Remember, I'm looking for a pattern over a prediction. And we're looking at the word of the Lord for this year. You said 2022, the year of correction, direction, protection, and perfection in spirit, soul, and body. Interesting you said that. In finances, churches, and government.
Yes.
All right. It's a Shemitah year as well on top of that, meaning it's a release year. All right. In Hebrew, in the letters, there's only consonant letters. There are no vowels. The vowels are the dashes and the dots under the letters. There are no numbers. So there's not a number one and a number three and a number seven. The alphabet becomes the numbers. So Aleph is the first letter. It has a numerical value of one. Paleo-Hebrew, which I first started studying, has pictures, like when you see Egyptian type things. Not the same thing. The picture of Aleph is a bull. It's the first. It's the strong leader. The last letter is Tav, 22 letters. The last letter is Tav. Its picture symbol is the cross. So the first and the last, we would say in Greek, the Alpha, the Omega, or in Hebrew, you would say the Aleph Tav is a bull and a cross. What began with the blood of bulls and goats will end at the cross. I mean, it preaches.
Yeah, and that's in the book of Hebrews.
Absolutely, it's in the book of Hebrews. Paul knew that.
The blood of bulls is in the book of Hebrews compared to the blood of Jesus.
And so you'll find those two letters together all throughout Scripture with no translation. They're just there. And I call it the autograph. I say that's the Alpha Omega. That's where he signed his name. That's talking about me. Aside from that, so what began with the bulls and goats will end at the cross. In the Greek, you would say Alpha Omega. In the Hebrew, you would say Aleph Tav. Now, the Jewish people and the rabbis believe that the entirety of this is divinely inspired. I said this on Monday. But they look at the first five being more inspired because God said it himself and even wrote it with his own hand versus it was with a dream or a vision, you know, or a prophetic word. Okay. Before you, I think you have this here. I want to let you see it. You guys in the audience don't have this, but they're going to put it on the screen for us. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Torah, or the Pentateuch. There are five books, and there are 5,852 verses in the Bible in those books. Genesis has 1,533. Exodus has 1,213, Leviticus 8:59.
What did Peter call them? Exceeding great and precious promises.
Yes, sir. So here they all are. That's how many
now,
are there.
At that time, these are the ones that he had access to.
That's absolutely right.
But now he wrote them in a letter, so now we know that they're exceeding great and precious. But this is what he knew as an Orthodox
right.
Jew.
There are many ways that you can look at the numbers. So the first 10 numbers of the Hebrew alphabet are 1 through 10. When you get to the 11th letter, they go by tens, 20, 30, 40, 50. So they have a to 100. Once you get to 100, we count by 100s. So the numerical value of the next four letters, 22 being the last one, is 400. So this is why in the Bible you'll read John used it. The Apostle John will use it. He says the number of man is 666. He's using letters to make the numbers. That's why it sounds so weird to hear. Why didn't he just say 666? Because he's doing it the Hebrew way, 666. And so that's how you do this. And you learn, there are symbols that they use for numbers so that you know that this is a number, not a word. So when I took Hebrew class and I would write a piece of scripture, I had to have every dot and jot and tittle, I had to have every punctuation place in the right place or the whole verse is wrong. Even if I got everything right but missed one dot, it's wrong. Or put the dot in the wrong place, it's wrong. And then my rabbi would count the numerical value of the verse to see if the numbers were right. That's to the extent that they loved this word, Brother Copeland, that they not only looked at it from right to left, they looked at the spaces in between it, they counted it to make sure it was correct because it's that accurate. And I'm going to prove it to you here in just a second. If you think you love the word now, just wait. All right. Now, I know you can take numbers. I'm not doing numerology here. I'm doing grammatica of the Hebrew. You can get messed up with numbers if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. You can get goofy. So it's not mystical. Like I said, John used this in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 8.
It's mathematics.
It's math, and that's the way they did it. Okay. So we know that Greek was the same way as Hebrew, that the number has a value. What if I do? So I decided, what if I do what so the rabbis did? I took the simplest form. What if I took this year and found the verse for it to see what the verse would say? Okay, so it's the year 2022. In Hebrew, it's the year 5782. They count from creation. 5782 is the year. So 2022 is the same year as 5782. So I decided, what would happen if I looked at verse 5782? What would happen if I looked at some of these other verses? All right, so I'm going to show you some examples right now of how God uses this. I'm going to illustrate how he works on our behalf. Okay, I took a year, I went and looked at this, 5708.
Oh, this is just amazing.
Year 5, year 5708, and I found the verse 5,708 in the Bible. I found that verse, and it's Deuteronomy 30 and verse 5. And here's the verse. Here's what it says. And the Lord thy God will... Now, listen to... Pay attention to this part. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. That's the year 5708. Well, that's a great verse for your year, isn't it? But when you now take it over to our calendar, the Gregorian calendar, 5708 is 1948.
That's the year they became a nation.
That's exactly right. And that's the word.
Yeah. Ooh, that's
way it is. Did you just get a chill?
Yeah.
Did you get...
Whoa. Yes.
You get a chill go over you because there it is. That's the year they went in and became a nation, 1948. It was the year 5708. All I did was look at the 5,708. Now, it doesn't work for all of them. It doesn't work like this for all of them. It's in a prophetic cycle when these things happen. So, Israel becomes a nation in that year. The verse is, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which your fathers possess. Okay, that's just one. Let me show you another one. Brother Hagin, you say all the time, you're going to have to show me two or three.
Yes.
All right, the year 5712, just a few years behind that. 5712, so I went and found the 5712th verse of the Torah, and it's Deuteronomy 30, verse 9. Here's what it says. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body. Listen to this, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good, and for the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over their fathers. 1952 was that year. Okay, big deal. David Ben-Gurion is the modern father of Israel. He was the leader at that time. David Ben-Gurion bought cattle from the United States and put them in the Negev Desert and began watering the Negev Desert, and fruit and vineyards and cattle. That verse happened in 5712, which was also 1952.
And where did they get the cattle?
Right here.
Yes. They didn't go to any place else on earth to get the cattle. They went to their little brother.
That's right. The other Lone Star.
The other Lone Star state.
In Texas. Glory to God. They were just, and just, I don't know if you knew this, just this last year in 2021, they were back in Texas looking for pure red heifers.
I didn't know.
And they were examining them, and they found pure red heifers in Texas and took them to Israel to prepare.
Yes.
For the temple, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah.
And it came from Texas.
Came from Texas, and now they're going to be raising.
That's because we live here.
That's right. So those are two. And I'll continue this tomorrow, but can I show you one more?
Please do.
Because this one, if those two excited you, this one. 5727, the Jewish year of 5727, is Deuteronomy 31:4. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites. Remember we talking about till the time of the Amorites?
Yeah.
And unto the land of them with whom he destroyed. It was 1967-68.
There it is.
The Golan Heights, that's where Sihon and Og lived, was in the Golan Heights. And he mentions them by name in that verse that corresponds with that year when it happened.
The 1967 war.
The Six-Day War. And they got control.
I mean the Six-Day War.
They got control of that area of the country where these two old kings once lived.
Oh, I remember that. And when that happened, I want you to know, we were holding our breath. Mm-hmm. We knew it. We knew it. We knew this was it. This has to be it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was.
And it was. But see, that was in Scripture for that Jewish year.
Did you put that on these?
On that, yeah, I've got them right here. Here's a.
Let's see. I don't have that one.
It's right here. 5727. It was in 1967-68. Now you're saying, wait a minute, you're doing it over 2 years. Yes, because the Jewish New Year begins in September, so every year we have 3 months of living in the future before you get to here. So the Shemitah year began in September and will go through into September this year. It doesn't go by the same January the 1st. We're in it right now. I mean, we're right in the smack middle of this.
Right, right in the middle of it.
Right now. But in those places, God predicted the year or the what happened that year happened based on the verse. The verse lined up with it.
Praise God.
He's that accurate, Brother Copeland,
in
what he's promised us. He's that accurate when his word. He watches, this is what I'm telling you, he watches over his word to perform it. And this is why he told him, don't provoke the angel. There's an angel that takes care of time. When the time had come for Jesus, he made sure that happened. He makes sure that everything. Jesus is not going to be late returning to the earth.
No.
It's a set appointed time that's kept in the Father's heart. And when it's time, that angel's going to sound that trumpet. And this thing's over. And so there's a pattern of things here. Do we have time for another one? Or
yes, sir.
You want? Okay. 5746. 5746 corresponds the 5,746th verse.
Yes.
Is Deuteronomy 31:23, be strong of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, I will be with thee. That's 1984. Operation Moses began in 1984, where they started bringing Jews from all over the country, all around the world back home. That's that verse. That's Aliyah. And this ministry has been big.
Yes.
I mean big time in Aliyah, getting people. You're part of that verse.
Oh, glory be to God. And we're out of time.
We're out of time.
Somebody shout amen, somebody. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll be back in just a moment. Yes.
On every line of love and glory, 'cause you're the best thing that ever happened. The best thing that ever happened to me.
God loved you so much that He sent Jesus to save you. Jesus paid the price that sin demanded. He went to hell in your place. And then God raised Him from the dead. He defeated sin and all the power of the enemy. Now, Jesus wants you to share in that victory that He won for you. You can have the victorious life that Jesus is offering you. All you have to do is receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. I want you to pray this after me. Say this out loud as I say these words. Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I speak with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is my Lord. And fill me, Father, with your precious Holy Spirit. And I will speak in another tongue as the Spirit gives me utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you have just received the life-transforming power of God. And that power makes all things, everything, brand new. I want to welcome you to the family of God. The words that you spoke allowed God to transform your life. You have been born again. And we have a free resource called the Salvation Package to help you learn more about your new life in Christ. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And along with the book are brochures to help you get started reading and studying your Bible. Just contact us at kcm.org and we'll get it to you absolutely free. Also, while you're on kcm.org, we encourage you to check out all our online teaching resources. There are hours of archived teachings from broadcasts and meetings. They're all available on demand to help you grow spiritually.
Thank you, everybody, for being a part of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast this week. I tell you, and again today, and I can hardly wait till tomorrow.
We'll finish up the numbers. We'll finish it up.
Whoa, glory to God. Tomorrow is more of it, more of the same, more good stuff, and we're going to be shouting all the way through it. Until then, well, don't you miss. That's an order in the name of Jesus. Until then, remember this. God loves you. And we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Yes, yes, glory. He is.
If you received Jesus into your heart and made Him the Lord and Savior of your life, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to welcome you to the family of God. They have a gift for you called the Salvation Package to help you understand more about your new life in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/newlife.